GTV.
Okay, here we go. Da 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 da. Okay, it's you. As you may recall, ladies and gentlemen, I lost a subscriber a couple weeks ago. I don't like losing subscribers, but this woman claimed that I was too critical of Christianity. Not critical enough of Islam. If you remember the show I made in the wake of that unsubscription, I said that, well, Islam is an obviously evil religion. Its holy book, the Quran, tells its followers, its disciples, to kill the infidels. It's basically an ongoing jihad. And what's so tricky about it? And I think I did a pretty good job of convincing this woman that Christianity is the most dangerous religion because it is so deceptive, because it has hijacked, the demons running the religion have hijacked the name of God and Christ and put it on a religion that teaches the most evil teachings, eternal torment, even eternal death. That's pretty bad, too. Free will, that it depends on the human to save him or herself in spite of God's best efforts to save. And a denial of the death of Christ, which is the foundation of our gospel. Denying that, claiming that Jesus Christ is God rather than what he said he was, the Son of God. All these evils in the Christian religion, but especially eternal torment and human free will, have just destroyed people over the years, just decimated the sensitive people who wonder if they chose correctly, if they were really sincere, because in their minds, their eternal destiny depends on their sincerity, on their saying the right prayers, and being having the right attitude, being in the right mood, and then trying to maintain it, because Christianity says you have to maintain it. I mean, you don't think it's once saved, always saved, do you? No, you have to keep coming to church. You have to keep giving to the collection plate, all these terrible things. And this religion claims to be the truth, but it is a lie. It is an outright lie. And so this woman unsubscribing has inspired me to run for you a video from 7 years ago called The Crimes of Christianity. I've been wanting to do this, but I kept putting it off because I like talking to you. I just, now that I'm here, I want to talk to you for another 30 minutes, but I can't because I need to shut up and play the video. Now, not everybody has seen this video. It has never been run as an MZTV video. That's why I'm now publishing it as one. This video was, and another good thing about this, it's a conference video. So this was September 23rd, 2017, which was the exact date of the sign of Revelation 12. Remember that? This was a conference in Indianapolis. So I'm going to play it for you very shortly now, called The Crimes of Christianity. The lighting is terrible. The sound is good, which that's the most important thing. I'll try to correct some of the lighting with the magic of editing. I'll put some filters in there, maybe try to do the contrast and the brightness. I'll see what I can do. But my parting words before presenting to you this presentation is that Christianity is doomed. Christ is not the head of Christianity. And so this became a means of Satan to delude the masses. And indeed, that's what it has done. But if you're in the Christian religion, you're in the death zone. You know, when you're climbing Mount Everest and you get past Camp 4, You get up to the Hillary step, you're in the death zone. You can only spend so much time there before you die. Here's another analogy for you. How about if somebody came back from the future, came back to the year 1912 and told everybody boarding the Titanic, you are in the death zone. You will be killed. If you board this ship, you will die. I think they would write off such a person as a crackpot. And not one person. Well, you might have one person who would say, okay, I think I'm going to take the Carpathia. I'm going to take some other ship here, but I'm going to row across the Atlantic myself. Thanks for the warning, kid. I am telling you, I don't need to tell you because you're already out, but I'm telling those watching over your shoulder who are in this religion, you are in the death zone. Remember on 9/11 when that plane was headed for the Capitol and people were running through the Capitol screaming, get out, get out, get out, because that plane was 20 minutes from crashing into the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. And if not for the bravery of a few on board to get control of that ship, to risk their own lives, to rush the cockpit, and to take those damn Islamicists out, they had crashed a plane. Nobody knows exactly whose hand was on the yoke when that plane crashed in western Pennsylvania, but it saved lives. It crashed into the wilderness of Pennsylvania. It could have, its target was the U.S. Capitol building. But those in the Capitol, they were in the death zone. They were in the death zone. If you are in a Christian church, you're in the death zone. I know you don't think so because everybody's so happy and they sing beautiful songs and it's like, just like the Titanic. People have said, eyewitnesses, people who escaped off the Titanic, they said that it was such a brand new ship. They said that there was still the smell of fresh paint on the Titanic. So it seemed like it was a fancy, very fancy, the most beautiful ship on the sea. And they said at the time that God himself couldn't sink the ship. Nope, all it took was a little chunk of ice to sink the ship in the death zone. God is going to destroy the Christian religion. It is prophesied. Daniel 7, the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ, the necessity to rid the world of man-made religions, man-made politics, to make way for God's religion and God's politics. You are in the death zone. Get the hell out while you can, and I mean run. Don't be deceived by the smell of fresh paint or the notes of beautiful music or the happy people, the coffee, the hugs, the donuts. Just don't be deceived by the incense, by the welcoming hug at the door. It is a false religion, and the 200 million supernatural cavalry described in the unveiling are coming to destroy the adherents of this religion, especially the leaders. Get the hell out. You're in the death zone. You're in the death zone. For those of you who want more information concerning the crimes of Christianity, we now join myself 7 years ago at a conference in Indianapolis, Indiana, September 23rd, 2017, the exact day of the sign of Revelation 12. I remember that day well. Somebody had an app on their phone and we held it up to the sky and we saw it. We saw the woman with the sun in her back and the moon in her feet and the 12 stars on her head. It was just amazing. Amazing. This was a sign that the end is near, that it is coming, that we, the earth itself, is in the death zone. It will be not destroyed like Christianity. It will be revitalized. It will be a regenerated earth, and Israel will be a regenerated people. But in order for that to happen, there's a seven-year period of birth pangs that are necessary for the coming of this kingdom. But let's find out now why Christianity is the most dangerous place to be in the world today. It is the death zone, and here are the crimes of Christianity.
Good.
All right. I'm going to give you a little secret about my work.
Here we go.
I follow a formula. I'm not a genius, huh? I follow a formula. This is why people get the truth from me. This is why, because I follow instructions. It's not the fact that I'm a genius or I'm any smarter than anybody else. I'm following instructions. This is to introduce my talk called The Case Against Christianity. I cannot go to a conference without I take the opportunity to totally destroy and demolish the religion known as Christianity. It is one of the most dangerous places you can be, especially today, because the bombs are about to drop upon this religion. Are we on?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Could you ask them to keep their voices down a little bit? I'm very precariously perched on the edge all the time, you know. I hear any distractions, I'm off the rails in 2 seconds, baby. Yeah, so, yeah. I've told you before, if you're watching the Revelation series, if you're not, I'm doing a series on the book of Revelation. I've been doing it for 3 years. I started on September 15th, 2014, and I'm on show 750 or whatever. And Revelation is about two things mainly, religion and politics. The two things you're not supposed to talk about at a party or anywhere. The things that everybody argues about, religion and politics. The book of Revelation is divided into two parts, politics and religion. The first 10, 11 chapters up to 11:19 talk about politics. It talks about a throne. John saw a throne in heaven. A throne speaks of rule, rulership, politics, government. And then he saw a temple, starting in Revelation chapter 11. When I saw the symmetry of Revelation, when I saw what Revelation was about, it made sense. There were compartments. It made it easier to understand. God is in the business. This is Revelation in a nutshell. God is displacing human politics and religion with his own politics and religion. And that's what the book of Revelation is all about. It's the displacement of humanity's rule, humanity's kings, humanity's presidents, with God's presidents, kings, representatives. It is the replacement of Catholicism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, with God's religion. And God's true religion is that which he gave to the Jews. But before, when he returns, we see the 7 years of the tribulation, which we all believe are very close to beginning. Jesus said, no man knows the hour or the day. He didn't say you wouldn't know the month or the year. And so when this tribulation begins, it is going to be the destruction of humanity's politics and religion. If you are in a religion today, and I'm not going to ask you individually, are you guys going to church on the side? Are you two-timing me? I'm not going to ask. But let me tell you, I would not want to be anywhere near an organized religion, organized church, because they are slated, they are marked for destruction. Not by tanks, not by rockets, not by Kim Jong-un, but by divine means, divine messengers of destruction, divine angels who are going to destroy humanity's religion and politics. This means that church buildings will be decimated and people will die. 1/3 of the earth's population will die. Wayland spoke to us about how God does difficult things. And I'm one of the only people out there, I think, that's saying that people will die. And it's not a popular message, especially I'm a herald of God's grace. But God's grace is heralded. It's called an acceptable era. This is an acceptable era to receive the grace of God. We're used to it because we're born during Paul's administration. That's all we've known. However, there have been times before us where you had to take your little sheep to Jerusalem and have your son circumcised on the eighth day. There was a time when you had to build an ark. There was a time when you had to repent and be baptized. This is not that time. This is a time of grace. As you've heard me say, this window is closing. And religion, all four religions, there are four major religions on the earth. The one I'm concerned about is Christianity. It is the worst religion. It's worse than Islam. And I'll tell you why. It's worse than Buddhism and Hinduism. It's worse because it is the closest imitation to the truth. It actually has the audacity to name the name of Christ. And it puts its heresies under the cross, which they think is shaped like this. But Jesus was crucified on a stake, a pole, not a cross. They have everything wrong. They have everything wrong. This is an opposite, polar opposite of the truth. It's a negative image of what Jesus Christ is. Even the Jesus they worship doesn't look like that. He's not beautiful. He's not handsome. He doesn't have long flowing hair and blue eyes. He was, as I like to say, you've heard me say it before, an ugly Jew. And he was, you had to have the Spirit of God to recognize him. So Christianity is, it's a sinister imitation of the truth. And it's sinister because it's whitewashed. And as you know, many people will say to Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Do wondrous works in your name? And he will say, I never, depart from me, workers of lawlessness, I never knew you. So who names the name of Christ except Christians? This is the formula I have used, and it is Paul in 2 Timothy 4, and I recommend this to you. If you do this, you will be a successful evangelist. You will be able to give the truth, and this is it. Paul says to Timothy, I take these marching orders as my own. I am conjuring you in the sight of God in Christ Jesus, who is about to be judging the living and the dead according to his advent and his kingdom. Herald the word. Stand by it. Opportunely, inopportunely. And here it is. Expose, rebuke, and entreat with all patience and teaching. It's the expose, rebuke, and entreat that I really lasered onto this. I think it was like 1996. And I started teaching on this, expose, rebuke, and entreat. And many people left. Many people said that you're too harsh, you're too hard. You can't entreat someone unless you expose the error and rebuke the person giving the error. So you have to expose. And this is a reason why some teaching doesn't work, because everybody wants to entreat, everybody wants to be nice and encourage you and come on, come to Christ. But unless I blow up your church first, you're not even going to hear me. I have to blow up your church first, and then you have nowhere to. Then you can, you know, you can hear me. So I'm about to tell you that Christianity is the harbinger of the worst demons. And I've said this before, but I can't stop saying it. I will say it till the end. I will warn people to the end. I will be on record. I will be on video. I will be on my show. I will be live. I will be everywhere telling people to get the hell out of any organized religion, especially the Christian religion. It's marked. It is going to be destroyed, and people are going to die, especially the pastors, especially the leaders, especially those who are leading the blind leading the blind. Jesus had the worst condemnation, not for the people. They were the sheep who were being deceived. The worst condemnation came to those who were deceiving the sheep. Woe to you, he said. Better a millstone be hung around your neck and you sink to the bottom of the sea than to cause one of these little ones to stray. And these people are taking these innocent souls who would hear about God, and they're taking them into the Christian religion, and they're teaching them things they ought not teach. They're teaching them things that defile the name of God. They're teaching them that God eternally torments those who don't love him back. They teach that humanity has a free will. And as Alan says, everybody has a free will except for God, because he gave it away and now we can't get it back. They're teaching that God is not in charge of evil, as Wayland's telling us. They're saying that the world is out of control because human beings now have sovereign control of evil. And the best God can do is run around and put fires out. These are the lies they're telling people. People I love, and I mean really love, are being Christianized as I speak to you. It vexes my soul. If anybody heard my show on Friday, that's what I was going through when I made that show about struggling against sovereignties. Thank you. Sovereignties, authorities, and world mights of this spiritual darkness. And the world mights and the sovereignties and authorities of evil are disguising themselves as messengers of righteousness. And they are found in the churches. And you've also heard me say this. I'd rather take my 10-year-old kid into a strip club or a bar than in a church. And I mean that seriously. Because in the church is where they are turning your mind around against God. They're giving you a false God. And for the rest of your life, you think you're serving God, but you're really not. You're believing a terrible lie. How does that happen at a bar? You're drinking alcohol and laughing a lot. In a strip club, people usually call upon the name of God. Oh, God, look at that. Oh, God, you know. I don't know this from experience, others have told me, but God is glorified for his creation in a strip club. Nobody comes out of a strip club or a bar hating God or being nervous or being worried or being fearful for their lives. People come out of a church that way. They're loaded with guilt, they're loaded with condemnation, and they're wondering if they're saved at all, and they're afraid of God. I guarantee you, and you heard me say this on the show, most Christians really don't want Jesus to return because they're scared to death of him. He's the co-author of eternal torment. Jesus and God got together in a back room and they discussed it. Eternal torment. They're scared to death of him. We're not. We're looking forward to his return because we know him. This is therefore another exposure and rebuke of Christianity. Well, in Daniel chapter
7, Daniel sees four winds coming out of the ocean, and he sees four beasts being created. Just 20 seconds on this. Those four beasts coming out of the ocean, out of the sea, are four religions. They're not four countries. They're not four political alignments. They are, there was a lioness, a she-bear, a leopardess, and a monstrous, an indistinct monster. It was more terrible than the rest, and they went from east to west. Basically, these are your four major religions on the earth. There are only four major religions on the earth. Everything else is an offshoot. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and Christianity. And they do indeed go from east to west. Japan, China, India, Hinduism, the Middle East, Islam, and West Christianity. And the most hideous of all is the West Christianity. It's more hideous than Islam. It has killed more people than Islam. And I don't mean necessarily by the sword or by the tank. I mean by worry, by fear, by guilt, by wondering, by being fearful of God, painting God as a hideous creature of eternal torment who is so racked with codependence that he must destroy you if you don't love him back. If Christianity was taken to court, what would it be convicted of? My friend J.D. Fine brought this point to me 2 weeks ago. He says, my friend Tony and me, we're going to go to dinner and we're going to talk about what if people took Christianity to court. He's from Tennessee, sorry. I can't. What would Christianity be convicted of? If Christianity had the answer, Christianity is in the witness stand. What is Christianity to be convicted of in a court of law? The crimes she is guilty of. And he and his friend, Tony Smith, made a list of crimes. And J.D. Fine listed these crimes for me. He sent them to me. He said, this might be an interesting topic for a talk for you. Of all the crimes we have come up with that Christianity could rightly, justifiably be convicted of. He knows me well. He knows I always look for new ways to destroy this religion and to bring it into question and to tell you that it's no place to be. It's dangerous. People think they're safe in church. People think they're safe there. They say that if I believe the way you did, Zender, oh, you're outside the box. You're outside. It's dangerous out where you are. All you have is the scriptures, you know. Where's your head? We have to be accountable. You have to have an authority over you. Christ isn't good enough, I guess, for these people. I do have an authority over me. I do answer to someone. It's Christ. He's my enlister. He's my general, my captain, my... So he's the head of the body. And so I said, yes, give me the list. I'm going to run down the list and then I'm going to fill in some of the details. Fraud, extortion, terrorism, disturbing the peace, child abuse, hate crimes, false advertising, slander, plagiarism. In the past, convicted of executions, torture, kidnapping, treason. This is all the religion, and it is a religion. It's a religion. It's a demonic religion. Because the purpose of all religion, let me say this, I've said it many times, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but I can't not do this at a conference. I try to think of new ways to do it, it comes back to the same thing. Religion is a demonic, maybe I'll say it in a new way that will really click with you. Religion are demonic inventions. They are systems built up by Satan to get people occupied with doing things, having celebrations, lighting candles, saying prayers, doing penance, saying the rosary, going to choir, learning how to sing a new song, getting a new projector so you can get the lyrics up on the screen, being nice to the homeless people, that's fine. All these things to keep them from understanding what exactly happened at Calvary. That's the purpose of it. How much better if you can convince the people that they're actually serving God? Get this. Jesus told his disciples that those who kill you will be assuming that they are doing divine service to God. That's how deceived people are in religion. Boom, here's the brain. Boom, people who kill you will assume that they're doing divine service to God. They're doing God a favor. Isn't that what the Jews thought when they killed Christ? We're defenders, the Jews said. Caiaphas, Annas, the high priest that day, Herod. We're doing God a favor. We're protecting our people from this heretic. We're protecting our people. Our people don't know the truth. The Catholic Church tried to protect the people from reading the Bible on their own. We'll interpret it for you. That's why it was in Latin for so many years. Didn't want to translate it into English. Tyndale broke that.
Defenders of the faith.
Yeah, defenders of the faith. I'll tell you what, whenever you're defending the faith, it's a lonely road and it's a dangerous road because the mainstream will hate you. And so Christianity is invented, especially Christianity. It's the ultimate deception because it has the name of Christ on it. But Christ is nowhere near it. Christ has nothing to do with it because that's not him. And the God that they worship is also a caricature of God. You know that very well. And so if you're convinced that we're doing a divine service to God, that's what the Pharisees thought. We're actually helping God. We're protecting the people by crucifying Jesus Christ. And they felt relief. We did our job. Phew. Talk about missing it. Wow, you really missed it. But nothing's changed. That's the problem. And fraud. How can Christianity be convicted of fraud? They have distorted God. It's fraudulent. Their presentation of God is fraud. He's a fraud. He will eternally torment you if you disobey him, if you don't love him. You know the verse, Romans chapter 2, somewhere, verse 14, I don't know. It says that Paul to the Jews, because of you, the name of God is blasphemed among the nations. Christianity is blaspheming the name of God. They're better if they shut up. If Christianity disappeared today, God's name would flourish. Christianity went away. I told you, my father-in-law back in the day, he hated institutional everything. I loved the guy. He hated institutional religion, institutional medicine, institutional education. And he's right. Anything that's institutionalized is basically shot. He had a really interesting statistic. There was a book he read about this doctor who was into holistic medicine, and this doctor had a statistic that he delighted in. There was a certain city, and the doctors and the surgeons of that city went on strike. They were, of course, in the medical union or whatever, the AMA, and they went on strike. And during the time they were on strike, the death rate went down. Fact.
I can believe it.
The death rate went down.
Yeah.
Do you know where people get sick and die? In hospitals.
Oh, that's the worst place.
It's the worst place to be when you're sick.
Yeah.
You don't get any sleep, and you pick up viruses that are crawling over the walls of those places. If you got rid of all the hospitals, people would be better. If you got rid of the religion, people would be closer to God. If you got rid of the colleges, people would get smart again. So that's how I feel about it. That's fraud. Extortion. Oh my gosh. Extortion. They extort the money out of you. They extort your money. We're not extorting anything from you. You give voluntarily here. We're not threatening you. But Christianity, talk about a threat. For one thing, they'll extort you with fear. And Alan talked about that, I think. The fear that if you don't believe this message, you're going to burn in hell forever. What do you say now? You know, that's extortion. And then once they get you in the club, they take your money. That's extortion. When they get you in the club, they take your money away from you. And the Catholics, as we know, they're famous for this little thing called indulgences. You could actually pay your relatives out of purgatory. According to the Catholics, when people die, they went in this halfway house. How convenient for them, because now, if you give us $100, you will take a year off of your beloved Aunt Mary's time in purgatory. Literally, they literally did this. And they built Rome on the back of the people who were intimidated, extorted, to buy their relatives out of hell. The people were so afraid they gave any money. They want to save their relatives. Preying on people's fears to make money and build a great... Rome is sick. Rome is sick. The Pope is sick. The Catholic Church is the sickest part of Christianity. Terrorism in the form of hell. Yeah, talk about terrorism. I mean, yeah, the Muslims do pretty good with that, but boy, God, they got nothing on God. They got nothing on the Christian God, do they? Terrorism, eternal torment. It's going to be bad enough when the earth has gone through its 7 years of trial, but that's temporary. The locusts in Revelation are 5 months. The sun is darkened for so many days. The whole thing is shortened. Even the 7 years is cut in half. Disturbing the peace. Street preachers, door to door. You know, Clyde Pilkington and you, Alan, you guys are in the same boat. You have that Baptist thing. It's still in you. It comes out, you know, once in a while. But now you have the truth. But Clyde used to tell me of how he would be at the docks in Virginia somewhere, Newport News or something. They'd wait for the dock workers to come out of the bars, and they'd preach hell to them, and they'd yell at them, and they'd literally yell. If you've ever heard Clyde do an imitation of himself 20 years ago, it's scary. I'm not even going to do it. It's too scary. But I'll just imitate it in a quiet way. Clyde would get up there and say, "You're going to hell. Your mama's going to hell. Your brother's going to hell. Your sister's going to hell." And yell at the top of his lungs. And Alan, you were talking about coming to your door, right? These Christians think that they really have to go out and make disciples of all the nations. That's what they think. This is the problem, is they're carrying, no matter what they do, no matter what different presentation they make, they're carrying a virus. The virus is eternal torment. The virus is a God who didn't create evil. That's the virus. Their God is helpless, and their Savior is a failure. So no matter what they do, and they wonder why people are turned away from. Why don't people like us? Why don't? How come we're not converting the world? We must need more television shows. We'll buy 10 more stations. We must need 25 more radio stations. We must need bigger books, better books. Maybe the cover's wrong. Maybe if we've made the lighting. All the time, no matter where you go, whether you're in a church or you take the church to the home, you're carrying the virus. It's the teaching, stupid. It's the teaching. Disturbing the peace. Child abuse. Well, children are raised in the church. God will get you. God will get you. Somebody said, maybe it was during the break, you're taught from a young child, God is going to get you. God's scary. And Santa Claus is really your first introduction to somebody who's watching you, waiting to see if you're naughty or nice. You really didn't want to catch Claus in your house, you know? Like, you know, all the kids said, I'm going to sneak in and get a glimpse of Santa Claus. Not me. It's just a little bit scary, you know? You leave him the cookies and like, I hope he likes these. So it's child abuse. Hate crimes against the groups of sinners such as homosexuals. Christians hate people that don't agree with them. They can't have a reasonable discourse, especially sinners like homosexuals. That's one of their main target groups. Or alcoholics, porn users or porn addicts, any sort of addiction, Christianity, you're too bad you're so weak. Too bad you don't have Jesus. As if somebody who has Jesus can't have a problem. That is a hate crime. False advertising. Oh my goodness. Yeah, they can be convicted of that. Name it, claim it. If you believe in God strong enough, you will get rid of your headache. If you believe in God strong enough, you'll get that new job. If you just have the right amount of faith, you will be promoted and you will have wealth and riches and live in a mansion by the sea. This is false advertising. Slander against God's character. I've been through that basically. Plagiarism. Copying scripture but changing it to suit their needs. We talked about our friend, what's that guy's name that translated it? Jerome translated it. Yeah, he did it in the Vulgate, the first Latin translation out of the Greek. Plagiarism. Copying scripture but changing it. I don't know if he did it on purpose, but changing it to suit their needs. Christianity, the list is long. The list is long of the crimes that they have committed against humanity. I don't think you can even calculate how many people have died of fear, of worry, of distress, killed themselves, become criminals. As I say, the undercurrent of society, everybody has heard of the God who will torment you if you misbehave. And most of the world's run from that God. Only the morons have accepted it, drank the Kool-Aid, and think they believe it. I hate to call them morons, but you know, it's exposure and rebuke. And if anybody's listening to this tape here, you know, it's like if you're in the Christian religion, I'm not saying that the people are necessarily bad. The people aren't necessarily bad, but they're unwitting carriers of a virus. Somebody who's carrying the HIV virus or a flu virus even, they're not bad people. They just don't realize that this ugliness is inside of them and they're vessels of dishonor, but God is going to save everyone. God's going to save everyone. You don't hate the sinner, you hate the sin. And the greatest testimony of the mercy and grace of God, as I've said before, is that he is going to save Christians. That to me is unbelievable. People come up to me and say, you should mean God's going to save Hitler? I said, no, I'll tell you what's amazing. God's going to save you. You want to hear something? That's what I tell them. Do that next time. You mean God's going to save Hitler? I got some real crazy news for you. God's going to save you because you think you're better than Hitler. Hitler made no pretensions. You're a pretentious ass. You think you're superior to Adolf Hitler. There before the grace of God, go you. I'm finished with my rant against Christianity, but I guess I'm not. One more thing to say. Just get out of it. This is serious. It's like, you remember on September 11, 2001. So crazy. They hit the World Trade Centers, number one, number two. They hit the Pentagon. And then there was a plane en route to D.C. to take out the Capitol. And the only reason the passengers got hold of that plane was because it was delayed in the takeoff, and they were hearing that the planes that hit the Trade Center, and they knew they weren't on a standard, they were not on a standard hijacking mission. They were going to use these planes to run into something. And I remember hearing that day that somehow they got word that DC was going to get hit. There's another plane en route to DC, 16 minutes away. And I remember them saying that somebody walked into the Capitol and just said, it screamed, run, run. You know how when you have fire drills as a kid, it's be orderly, don't panic, walk the line. Somebody ran into the Capitol and just said, run. It was that you don't have time to run. Can you imagine how scary that would be when somebody, a congressman or somebody comes in and yells, run? That's what we're looking at with Christianity. Run. Run. If you're in a church, any denomination, church, run. Because it's coming. It's coming. I said my piece on it. I've said it many times. I'll say it again if the Lord tarries. Run. That's not where the truth is. It's safe to be with the Word of God. It's safe to be with Jesus as your head. That's all you need. Jesus is our head. He unites us. Right? He brought us together. He's a common mind. We're members of His body. And so we're all organized. We're here together. It doesn't happen every day, but it's happened today.